And now the Talk of the Nation opinion page. We still don't know who won the U.S. Senate race in Minnesota, and in an op-ed in the New York Times last week, Charles Seif argued, "We never will." At last count, the distance between Democrat Al Franken and Republican Norm Coleman was about 200 votes. In some counties, there's been a recount and a re-recount, which arrived at different totals. 171 ballots showed up uncounted in Ramsey County. In several places, ballots simply vanished. The counting is supposed to conclude soon, and one candidate will be deemed the victor by a hair. But Seif concludes there is no way to get an accurate count and that we might as well move on and employ Minnesota's established tiebreaker. Let's flip a coin. So, Minnesotans, is it time to stop the recount and flip a coin? 800-989-8255. Email talk@npr.org. Charles Seif is the author of Zero, the Biography of a Dangerous Idea, and joins us from our bureau in New York. Nice to have you on the program.
Nice to be here. Thank you for having me.
And there are lots of allegations from both sides about manipulations here. Do you conclude that it's impossible to get an accurate count because of chicanery?
I don't think there's any malice here, on at least for most people's parts. These people are very, very serious. You've got election officials who are very competent at what they do. The problem is, though, that this vote is so close, and it's just a mere 200-some-odd votes out of 3 million. That is a few thousandths of a percent, that all warts in this process, all little mistakes become magnified.
And we saw in Florida not too many years ago a lot of warts. Is Minnesota comparable to Florida? Is it better or worse?
Minnesota is so much better than Florida. You have no hanging chads. The laws are modern and they're very progressive. The election laws are very clear. There are segments talking about voter intent. So in theory, people looking at ballots should have no question about who is being voted for. They use optical Scantron machines, unlike punch cards. So there's no real guessing except to looking where marks on paper are, which is fairly simple. So this is no Florida, yet you've got the same uncertainties, the same problems, and people on both sides are claiming that there's an unfair process going on.
Unfair process. And again, just for clarification, these are all paper ballots. We're not talking about electronic machines that could have been hacked one way or another here.
No, no. There's a physical chit of paper for each vote that has been cast, and you can actually look at them. I myself was just watching people in the rooms going through piece of paper by piece of paper, one observer from Coleman and one observer from Franken on each side looking to make sure that each piece of paper is counted right.
And I'm saying they're both challenging several thousand votes each in addition to all the recounts that are going on. Minnesota Public Radio got a hold of many of the ballots that are being challenged by both sides. It's a messy mix of crossouts and doodles and some other strange marks. We've posted a sample on our website. There's also a link to Minnesota Public Radio's website on our blog. You can go look and see if you can figure out voter intent, npr.org/blogofthenation. But Charles Seif, you're analysis goes beyond even that. If they settle every one of these challenged ballots accurately,
that's right. Throw out all the weird challenges. Throw out all the squiggles and marks that people are worried about. Throw out any uncertainty at all. It turns out that even in the district, even the precincts where everyone agrees on what's going on, there are no challenges, no questions. There's still an error rate, and you know this because there was a provision in Minnesota law that required a post-election audit, that everyone went through a selection of precincts to recount all the ballots by hand in a way that simulates the recount that's going on now. So in those precincts, you have the machine count, which was done election night. Then you have the recount, which is just finished. And you have another recount, the audit. And by comparing the audit to the recount, you can see two groups of people looked at the same ballots very carefully, and in many cases, they came to different conclusions.
And they were off by how much?
About 20 thousandths of a percent.
Well, it's a tiny little number.
It is a tiny little number, but it's actually larger than the margin between the two candidates. And that's a major problem.
It means that even if you get the most accurate count possible, you're going to have an error rate which is built into the system, which is, and you're saying this is one of the best systems in the country, which is irreducible. There's going to be a certain percent, there's going to be a certain error rate, a tiny thousand, few thousands of a percent. But nevertheless, if that's the margin between the two candidates, you're not going to know who won.
Yeah, yeah. It's just a function of the fact that we humans can't count straight. I mean, we count very close to straight, but you count a jar of pennies, you count it again, you count it again, you might just get a little difference each time.
This isn't calculus. This isn't quantum theory. We're not talking about, you know, flow dynamics. This is arithmetic.
It is, but it's the same problem that physicists who are dealing with quantum mechanics deal with. It's a measurement problem that your observations are only as good as the instruments you have to observe them. And our voting machines, our physical ability to count things is imperfect. And in a race this close, our imperfections matter.
Let's see if we get some listeners into the conversation again. Our guest is Charles Seif, and in an op-ed that was published in the New York Times last week, he argued that, we're not going to ever know, given the tiny difference between the two candidates, we're not going to ever know who actually won the U.S. Senate election in Minnesota. 800-989-8255 if you'd like to join the conversation. Email us, talk@npr.org. And Barbara's on the line. Barbara calling us from Rogue River in Oregon.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, several years ago, there was a mayor race, and it ended up in a tie. And so they did it again, and it ended up in a tie. And the third time, it was a tie. So we settled it very scientifically with a coin toss.
Not a pizza-eating contest or something like that?
No, and, you know, the winner was cordial and the loser was cordial, but go for it. If that's the only way we can decide a winner, go for it.
Thanks very much for the call, Barbara.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And Charles Seif, the state of Minnesota, also has a tie-breaking provision, which is the same as the one in Rogue River, Oregon.
Yes, it says in the law that if in the case of a tie, it should be chosen by lot. You flip a coin.
Flip a coin. It's hard for me to believe that if it comes down to that, the loser is going to be as gracious as the one in Rogue River.
No, there could be some more satisfying outcomes for everyone, like trial by ordeal. You give them both battle axes.
I think the people of Minnesota, at least some of them, may feel that they've been the ones who've been going through that already as this process drags on and on. Sharon's on the line. Sharon with us from St. Paul in Minnesota.
Hi. I do just want to point out that this is a process. So we had a process in Florida that a lot of people were unhappy with, but in Minnesota, we have a process we're pretty happy with. This has been proceeding, and yes, we have had ballots that have been found, and the recount is coming up with a slightly different number, but in most cases, these are correcting errors, and it's just a very close race, and we need to count all the ballots before we decide that statistically we cannot do it. As Mr. Seif said, we actually are under a pretty good system, and we actually think it's a very good system. I know it'll be better as a result of this process.
Well, I think she's right about that, Charles Seif. Methods will be improved.
I agree. I think one of the things that we can all learn from is this. This is the first time I know of that you've had a recount with an audit on this scale. So we learn a lot about the whole process, and it is very exciting for people who study elections and the process of voting. And we are going to learn a heck of a lot about it.
She's also right that there is a process, and we do need to finish the recount because otherwise we've been through a whole lot for no purpose whatsoever.
I absolutely agree. I think the recount will continue, and I think it will. Every vote should be found and counted. And my feeling is that when all is said and done, it may still be within that statistical margin, in which case you have to determine whether or not this is a real result. That doesn't diminish the importance of going through this recount, which is extremely important.
Sharon?
Well, that's a feeling that you have, so obviously there's some statistics involved and some feelings.
No, I got yelled at by an editor, Sharon. It's not statistics we're talking about. It's arithmetic.
That's true, although this is based on more than a gut hunch. For example, what I did was I created a database to look for missing votes and to look for errors, and I found hundreds and hundreds and hundreds that have not yet been corrected. I hope they are all corrected, but there's missing votes in Dakota County, missing votes in Washington County, missing votes in Becker County. And so, yes, this is a process which is ongoing and is going to get better as people correct these errors. But I think that there is this remaining error rate that is inherent to the process that I don't think anything can get around. And the question is that enough to throw the election, make it meaningless? And I suspect that is a yes.
Well, just for the record, I worked on the election, made all those phone calls, and I called it for Franken by 25 votes.
By 25 votes?
Yeah.
Okay. Is that what you've got in the pool, too?
Pardon me?
Is that your number in the pool as well? I mean, I'm sure there's more than a few people who have, side bets going on about...
Yeah. Right.
And it's funny, everyone has their own number. Franken, I think the Franken campaign currently says they win by 4. Which is utterly meaningless. I think that they have no more insight than anyone else.
Thanks very much for the call, Sharon, and good luck in the pool.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. We're talking with Charles Seif, who wrote an op-ed in last Thursday's New York Times. He's also the author of Zero, the biography of a dangerous idea. And you're listening to Talk of the Nation, which is coming to you from NPR News. And let's get Obadiah on the line. Obadiah with us from New Haven in Connecticut.
Yes, I am a Minnesota native. I'm living out in Connecticut for grad school and will move back there, but I've been following this closely. My question is, if there's a chance, you know, whether we go by recount or go by coin toss, if there's a chance in both cases that we might pick the quote-unquote wrong victor, why would we settle for a coin toss, and when that would create a real challenge with public opinion?
I'm not sure if it comes down to a margin of three that even the victor with the margin of three is going to concede that he needs a coin toss. But anyway, how would you explain it, Charles I?
It's a fundamental problem, and I think that the answer here is to follow the law. And as far as I can tell, I mean, the law is that in the case of a tie, that you flip a coin. It's not satisfying. It's horrible. I wish there were some other provision that maybe goes to the legislature. Maybe there's a runoff election, as happened in Georgia. But that's what the statutes say. And I think that a sophisticated view of what tie means to statisticians under what the data seem to show, this is a tied election, and therefore tie-break procedures should happen.
Again, the person who's ahead by three is not going to agree with those statisticians.
That's right. Whoever has that 1 or 2 or 3 vote margin or even 100 vote margin is going to say, I won. But I honestly think that those 1 or 2 or 3 votes are noise,
and
not signal.
It's also going to be conceivable whoever's on the wrong side of that margin is going to say, I was robbed. So it may end up in the courts. Obadiah, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you very much.
Here's an email from Jason in Vancouver, Oregon. I'm frustrated that we use a blunt instrument elections and expect perfect precision from them. If the margin is so small that it's within the error of the measurement method, it's a tie. Why not just have a revote? Expensive, but we would get a valid outcome. And that's not provided for in the law as it stands, but that could be a reform that could come out of this.
Absolutely. I think that that's a good idea. You remove all the candidates except for the first two. You do a runoff election. And you get a result, most likely. The problem is, though, that the people who vote on the second election aren't the same as the people who vote on the first election. So does that change the validity of the election? People can argue both ways. But I think that is a better idea than a coin flip.
And we forget there was a third candidate in the election who got a significant percentage of the vote, something like 17% of the vote. So that would definitely change in a recount. Let's see if we get another caller on the line. Jim, and Jim was with us from Mooresville, in North Carolina.
Yes, good afternoon.
Hi.
They keep calling it a problem. I'm an inventory control specialist. I'm retired now. But any hand count of anything is no better than 1.5%. It's not a problem. It's a fact. The humans counting things, I don't care what the things are, they're going to be off by 1.5 and sometimes more. And the bigger the sample, the more chance for error. So people seem to be afraid of using computers. If the computer is the way, or an optical scanner, but they're afraid of it. They say, we want a paper trail. Well, a paper trail is never going to be better than 1.5% plus or minus.
Is he right, Charles Seif?
Yeah, by and large, absolutely. Depending on the care you do with a count, you might be able to get below 1.5%. I think in this case, the care is such that you can get it down to a fraction of a percent. But the broad idea is absolutely correct. And in theory, a perfectly electronic system could have no errors, that the of voting is the same as the act of tabulation, that you put the computer, the button, you push the button, and it's automatically recorded and counted.
Yes.
The problem is the practice of it. The code right now for many electronic machines is buggy. You have reports around the nation of votes being lost, votes not being recorded properly. It's also not transparent that the codes in the machines are proprietary, so you can't be sure that they're doing their job properly. So I think in the long run, yes, electronic machines will do a lot better than we can do by hand.
Absolutely.
Jim, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
And one last caller. Let's see if we can get Waverly in. Waverly's calling us from the Twin Cities in Minnesota.
Hi. On a lighter note, most of the people I talk to would like to see the recount go on at least for the six-year duration of the term. Most of us are kind of tired of the whole thing and don't think either candidate has really performed in a way that has made us proud. It's just been vicious and negative, and I think last I heard that each candidate had spent, you know, $1 million on the recount effort alone, and it's really just not, for most of us, it's not been a real positive experience to see the way some of these people have behaved.
Of all of the possible outcomes, Waverly, I think that's the least likely.
true, but maybe we could just start over or something, but it's been... Yeah, it's not been a time that has made a lot of us proud, to tell you the truth.
Okay, Waverly, thanks very much for the call. Appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye. And Charles Seif, thank you for your time today.
Thank you so much.
Charles Seif is the author of Zero, the Biography of a Dangerous Idea, with us again from our bureau in New York. You can also see some of those Minnesota ballots that are being challenged by both sides on our blog and see how reasonable people could disagree about who these people are trying to vote for. That's at npr.org/blogofthenation. Tomorrow, the author of Biology joins us, talk about truth and lies, about why we buy and how that changes in hard times. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.